All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Please, before I start my message, I just want to add something to the answer you gave that young man. One of the things I've noticed in that area, all right, please, and I want everybody to pay attention to this. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. You should never be the one to be bragging on how good you are. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason is that as a human being, you may think you are very good. That's what you think. Just like Aaron Ike said, how you will know is when you have a lot of demand for your work. And that is how you start grading your prizes. Like, there's one thing you notice, if you have ever had to use workmen, masons, like as an example, plumbers. The good ones, they are never idle. When you say, please, oh, I have a job to do in my house. The man will tell you, please, next week, Wednesday, right now, I am, for those of us in Enugu, they say, I'm in Udi, I'm doing one work now. He said, what about tomorrow? It's urgent. He said, please, I'm sorry. In fact, the man I have in mind, he will say, okay, I will come and look at it early tomorrow, but I can't do it tomorrow. You have to wait till Saturday. He has never told me I'm very good, though. But anytime you want him to work, that's when you will know he's very good. Because if you call him before he has your time, and he's a very nice man, he will talk to you very nicely, he will do your work very well, but tell him to, and he will tell you straight, please, I'm working here, I'm not free for the next 1 week. There's one building that they are working on, and the owner wants to use it, so we are working every day. You can only if you want to have a major construction to do, forget. You probably have to book him like 3 months or 6 months ahead. All those quickly, let me do something small. He can just sneak out one morning, quickly do it for you, and go back to his work. So, I just want us to bear that in mind. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. You must never be the one that thinks you are good. You must hear the testimonies, all right, again and again, before even you start believing it. And no matter how good you are, you can always get better. Did you hear what I said? No matter how good you are, you can always get better. Let the amount of, you know, demand you have start being the one to now increase your prices. You understand my point? Because if everybody is willing to pay you 10 naira, you have 100 people who want you one day. You say, okay, it's 20 naira, let's so that many people will go away and let you still have some peace. That's one trick to use about that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. I know we have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we'll just continue from that point, and I'll get into, please, my piece of paper. We trust the Holy Spirit that he will continue to enlighten the hearts of his people and give them insight in the name of Jesus Christ, and that I speaking will speak his word alone and not my own thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you give me some more volume on the speaker? Just a little bit. I find I'm shouting. Just a little bit more volume. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay, that's good, that's good. Yes, thank you very much. All right, I can relax now. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, please give me another amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, I'm just going to continue. I'm following the topics I was given. And the last one I'm taking is the rising of the righteous, which the way I'm going to take it is just a continuation of what I discussed yesterday, leadership and economic revolution in Africa. Like I said yesterday, I took it from a spiritual perspective. There's many more things. If a businessman were to talk to you, he will give you facts and figures about things that are currently going on in this continent. And as a matter of fact, the fastest growing economies in the world right now, they are in Africa. All right? That's a matter of fact. That is, countries that are developing, you know, if you have developed to a level, further development is a bit slower. But when you are coming from behind and you are running fast, all right, some of those fastest running countries right now is in Africa. But this is my own understanding of it spiritually. It is as the light of the gospel is spread, it is as the light of the gospel goes out that development comes. He said that in him was life, in John chapter 1, And that life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness. And darkness cannot overcome or understand it. And it's very important you understand that it's the coming of the light of God that brings development to a people. If people don't have light, they will never develop. Let me say that again. If people don't have light, they will never develop. When Reverend Oliver was talking about missions and all of that, he made a statement that if you go out for missions, you appreciate what the Europeans and Americans did in coming to Africa those days. You see, go as at this year, 2013, you see, go to parts of Africa that is difficult to get to. So people will be criticizing the white people that they came to loot Africa and that you come and pay for the things they took away that time. I say, stop saying that. They came, and because of their coming, we had light, the type we did not have before. Are you getting my point? So even though they took away slaves, we dash you the slaves. Even though they took away gold, we dash you the gold. Those things they took away is far less in value than the things that they brought in that process. Because light is interesting. Light, when it comes, treasure you did not know was there, all right? Light will show it to you. You now realize that actually you are rich. Listen to me, if they gave each person, this is a matter of fact, and please, you must learn how to judge things that are important. If somebody came in here now and said, okay, maybe six children that are just born, maybe the oldest being the age of 5, he now says that all of you are going to choose something, and you're a parent or you are a supervisor for those children. I'm either going to give you $10 million or give you an education. Please choose the education, forget the dollars. Even if he says it's $1 billion, choose the education, forget the dollars. Unless they tell you that you can, in fact, they can use the money to buy education, that is, you cannot go and go to school on your own. But this, the way I'm going to reason is that they say you either choose education or the other. You can't take the two. Please choose the education. And education is not just about book. I hope you get my point. It's about light. It's about enlightenment. It's about understanding. It's about knowing things. It is not good that in this day and age, things are happening, people still don't know about them. All right? Sometimes I read newspapers. I've not seen it in a long time. They'll say a young boy made an electric fan and it's being paper that is a genius. And I always laugh. You know why I always laugh? Whoever is writing that, he's not informed. You will have known that to make an electric fan, we used to do when we were in secondary school. All you need to do was have Abbott, Nelcon. Then later on, we have Nelcon and Packer. The circuits are all inside there. And we used to do those things, you know, in secondary school. We just get our wires and start doing things. I had a classmate we used to call Boguleche. Boguleche means he can do everything. That boy could do everything from climbing trees to manufacturing microscope. I'm serious. The kind of things the boy used to do. This guy. So when I see someone, I tell them that, they saw one genius young boy, he made an electric fan, or he made a toy car that can move. I say, you are not informed. All you need to do is pay DSTV small money and watch Discovery Channel. I'm telling you, you will see small boys that do competition in making remote control toys that can fight. That is, the competition is that you must make the toy yourself. Do not give your arena. You make your car, it makes the other car. So your two cars are going to fight to see which will push each other off. And it's remote control. And you see the boy, young boy. So when one boy winds electric motor and the thing is turned, he says, it's a genius. Ah, nonsense genius. Because people say those things because they are not enlightened. We start celebrating things. There was a time, you remember one joker in Nigeria called Dr. He said he was curing HIV. If you notice, no doctor gave him any respect. But the pressmen were saying, yes, yes. But because those of us who were in the field, we've read what he said. Say, this man is deceiving people. But if you say it, they'll say that, why can't Nigeria encourage you? So how can we encourage nonsense? Like a man goes to mix some concussion. Okay, there was one man in Benin that time, one of the traditional medicine people. It's ignorance. When people are not enlightened, they celebrate foolishness. Abalaka was there deceiving everybody. Anytime you say, okay, let us come and talk about it. If he knows doctors are coming, he won't come. But if it's only journalists, he'll sit down there because he knows they don't know the thing. But when his colleagues that know it come, he will run away. Because if you pose two or three questions to him, he can't answer it. You say the patients are doing well. Doing well in medicine must have indices. We check the doing well, we can write it that, okay, Last time you came, your PCB was 25. Today, it has increased to 34. That is what we call doing well. It's not like, oh, you're looking happy. That's your problem. Whether you're happy or sad, it depends on whether you drank or you didn't drink. You know, it can be affected. He said, oh, the patients are doing well. What do you mean by doing well? There are indices we will check. How can you be the one to develop a drug, test it, sell it? Nobody else is checking it. Does it make sense in any society? Those days, it was painting. In fact, you know what just painting was that Dora Kunhili was not yet NAFDAC Digi that time. If she was the one, she would throw the man in prison. She will grab the man and throw him in prison. Anybody can say what they like. She doesn't care. She will go carry you with police, throw you inside prison. Because the man was breaking so many laws. People say if he's in America, they will encourage him. I said, in America, they will put him in prison for 25 years. You inject somebody with a drug that has not been tested, you are going to jail for life. But when people are not informed, they will be celebrating it. Celebrating all kinds of things. Celebrating it. And that's what I mean by education, information. You can never advance except you are enlightened. That's what the Englishman calls reinventing the wheel. That is, you want to design tire again. We've made tire. They've made tire many years ago. Design something else. But a lot of people do not know that tires have been made. So they still sit down and they say, we can create a new tire. They say, what have you made that people had not made before you? The beautiful thing about being enlightened is that you can now take off from where other people stopped. You don't have to start again. You take off from where they stopped. You don't make their mistake. And that's why I said people must go for information, go for enlightenment. Sometimes when you talk about computers, an example, some people say, ah, that one is for, you know, it's for men who, there's nothing like that. My mechanic used a computer and he doesn't have a university degree. Because when everybody is doing something, he too will look and say, what are they doing? He'll go there and go and learn it. It can be taught to anybody. One day I got to his office, we were discussing on my car whether how many liters he was supposed to use to change the oil. The engine is very, very big. So he was saying this. I said, ah, that won't be enough. So 2.5 hours I was discussing. Okay, so let us solve the problem. He brought his computer, I brought my own. We both of us hooked onto the internet and started checking for what Toyota said is the number of liters you use to change the size of that oil. So we finally found it in there. He's a mechanic. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's why I said, when people say that white man looted Africa, I said, he didn't loot Africa. Anything he took, we dash him. We dash him, take it away. May God bless you abundantly for giving us enlightenment, for making our eyes open to see things that we didn't see before. We forgive him for taking slaves. We forgive him for taking money, for colonizing us, and helping us to develop small. We forgive. We forgive. What I'm trying to say is this. So the gospel is what brings light. And light is the thing you need for development. That's what I'm saying, all of this. If you're not enlightened, the development is going to be difficult. I'm talking as a preacher now because that's the foundation of everything. I was in Ghana the other day. We went to visit one of the castles from where they used to export slaves. And the guide was talking to us as if those people were hypocrites. Because you see where they are maltreating, and it was horrible, where they maltreat slaves. A hall like this, of course, not up to this size, maybe like one half of this, they can pack like 500 people inside. It's underground, not even above ground. And those ones will sit down there for the next 2 months, waiting for the ship to come, not going out. If you want to eat, any little food they give you, eat it there. If you want to urinate there. And then that thing you want to do, you do it there. But right above that dungeon was a chapel. As an Anglican chapel. So they said these people are hypocrites. That how can you be up there preaching? Yeah, you kept slaves down there. And I laughed. Being a Christian, somebody who understands spiritual things, I told the people beside me, I said, that's not hypocrisy. They were trying to make it look as if they are not true Christians, that how can they put a chapel here? I said, do you know, without that chapel, the slavery would have lasted forever. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying there. That without that chapel, that slavery would have lasted forever. It lasted for maybe by 100 years and it stopped. Because God knew what he was doing. He put a bit of light every place where bad things were being done, he put small light. You will see a picture of the first black man there that they took abroad, taught him, and brought him back. He was a chaplain there, or later on became a bishop or something. So they were looking at Steve and said, hey, what kind of nonsense is that? You say you are Christian. Said, listen to me. If those guys did not continue preaching that gospel in the midst of that slavery would never have come to an end. That gospel was... Now, you may not be able to draw the connection, but as the light of God is coming, it's entering the land bit by bit, all the evil things like slavery starts disappearing. They start disappearing. And that is why it's so important that as Christians, we recognize that first and foremost, what we need is the light of God. We don't just rush out early in the morning. The Bible says vain for a man to rise up early and come to bed late. One of the reasons why it is vain is that God will not be able to illuminate his or her eyes to be able to see the real things that the person is supposed to do that will make for development. The only thing that will help you develop in light, listen to me, is the light of God. Many of the places you say are developed and they say they are not Christians. You know what you don't realize? That they were Christians. They are now backsliding. The development they experienced was because of the light of God that entered the place. But the children afterwards, they forgot the source of that development. And that was why God commanded in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power. Now, why did he say thou shalt remember? Because the natural tendency is that you may forget. Men often forget. But the fact is that how they got that development in the first place was because the light of God was shined upon them. Somebody shone that light upon them. You understand? And because of that, they had development. But after people get used to it, the Bible says Jeshurun became fat and he kicked. Sometimes when people have eaten fat in the presence of God, they kick. Then they forget the source of their blessing. But the fact is that as long as you continue to recognize the source of blessing and give attention to the word of God, he continues to give you insight. He continues to give you revelation. He continues to give you illumination. And on the basis of that, you continue to make progress. And that's what we've been discussing. I began to talk about that yesterday. And I want us to go in. We're talking about the rise of the righteous. And I want to continue on this particular trend, explaining this issue of development and the role of righteousness. Now, first of all, I would like to explain what righteousness means. Now, I want to be very practical about the word righteousness. What can I use now? Okay, yes. If you have a phone here, I assume it is off, all right? Your phone is off, amen? If it's not off, put it off now, please. I'm expecting an important phone call. Please go and sit outside. You'll be able to hear from there. But if you're inside the hall, please, I beg in the name of the Lord, put off your phone, all right? Now, but let us assume now that you want to charge that to your phone that is off currently. I want to ask you a very simple question. Everybody can answer it. Are you going to throw it inside fire? Because if you want to charge your soup, you put the soup inside. If you want to charge soup, you put it on fire, right? Uh-huh. But when you charge your phone, do you put it inside water and put it on fire? No, you don't do that. If you want to charge your phone, what do? You plug it to electricity. Now, let us assume that in your area there's a fault and you record the voltage and at that time it's reading 500 volts. Are you going to plug it? Normal voltage is like 220 in Nigeria. You will not plug it. It's excessive. All right? Now, what you have done in the life of that phone is what the Bible calls righteousness. Righteousness simply means to do the right thing. That is simple. Now, why did I use the phone as an example? Why you will not do unrighteousness? Because charging your phone with 1,000 volts is unrighteousness. Charging it by putting it on the cooking pot in a frying pan and putting it on fire is unrighteousness. If you do this unrighteousness to your phone, what happens? It spoils. It burns. It fries. You bought an iPhone, that's the end of it. It's dead. You can't say, look, this my phone is an iPhone. It's very good. I know Apple made it very good. It's a Samsung Galaxy S4. It's very good. So, when I want to charge it, I put more kerosene on it and put it near the fire. because there's no light. You know, NEPA has taken light, so you can use kerosene to cook, if not electricity. So let me, it won't work. Now, it sounds funny that, well, we know this now. Yes, so I want to use to explain righteousness. What you have refused to do is unrighteousness, so that it does not spoil your phone. Now, but men don't understand this. They practice unrighteousness every day in life, and it is spoiling something they don't know. Let me give an example. I was in the news this morning on my phone, and it was Christian news. So they were telling things that were happening in certain places. One man is trying to explain now that Christians, he has an outreach on it, training Christians how to explain to other Christians that homosexuality is good. And he will take many verses of the Bible, twist it the way he wants to say what he wants to say. Now, we're not discussing that now in details, but the simple thing is that what he's doing is that he's practicing unrighteousness. It is destroying something he does not know. It is destroying himself. If it continues, it will destroy the society. If it continues, eventually, the land will vomit up the inhabitants. Unrighteousness is not just something that God does not like, though he doesn't like unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is actually something that is not good for you. It is not good for me. Just like I wouldn't put my phone inside the frying pan, put it on fire, claiming I want to charge it, because I know it will destroy the phone. If I wanted to charge it, I will plug it with the appropriate cable to the appropriate socket. And that will be righteousness. Doing righteousness, therefore, is a blessing to me. It helps my phone charge. It lasts the next many hours. I can make my calls. I can solve the net. I can do a lot of things. I can be a blessing to myself and the people I need to communicate with. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not that, okay, as in my phone is a Sony Xperia. You say, Banky, if you go and charge that thing with this power surge, Sony won't like it too. I don't know whether you hear what I say. I bought a phone, it's a Sony Xperia. I say, hey, if you use fire to charge that thing, Sony will be angry. Okay, if I was to walk to the MD of Sony and say, I want to charge this thing on fire, what will he say? You say, don't do it. If I do it, will he be happy? But the question is, the real problem, is it his happiness? What is the real problem? It will spoil the phone. That was why Elihu said to Job, if you did unrighteousness, how will you have affected God? If you say, I did righteousness, you didn't pay me. He said, okay, do unrighteousness, how will you affect God? That your righteousness affects you and the people around you. If you do unrighteousness, it is you it is affecting. Please, you must follow this. Christians look at sin and unrighteousness as if, like, you know, God will be angry. Yes, I know he will be angry. I'm not saying that we should make him angry because he's a nice person. No. It's not just a father, he's also a judge. If you do what is evil, he has a duty to issue the appropriate judgment. Is that okay? But I want to emphasize something else. We're not doing righteousness just because it will make God happy and unrighteousness will make him sad. We are doing it because it is good for us, and unrighteousness is not good for us. You wonder why I'm saying this, but you will see it in a moment. Because we are talking about the rise of the righteous. Sony is a company, right? They can make a phone. Samsung is a company, they make phone. Apple, the company, they make phones, they make tabs, they make stuff like that. Therefore, they tell you how it works. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me give an example now. If I made a new phone and I call it Banky Mobile, all right, and you don't know how it works, who will you ask? It's me now. You come and ask me. Anything you do on that phone that's not in accordance with what I said is unrighteousness, and your phone will not be a blessing to you. Who made this earth? Who invented everything on this earth? God in heaven. Anything you do that is not in accordance with his instructions is unrighteousness, and it will not be a blessing to you. Do you get the point I'm making? It's important we follow this. We are talking about the rise of the righteous. What is righteousness? Righteousness means I walk in the order that God prescribes. And if indeed he made everything, I am the one that will be above and I will not be beneath. Any other person or any person who uses the order that is not in accordance with the order of God will fail and I will succeed. Please, get what I'm trying to explain. When we're talking about righteousness, we have a positional righteousness in Christ Jesus because of our faith. But I want you to understand that that knowledge of God always tells us how to live and how to do things. And when we're talking about development, if we're talking about advancement, if we're talking about prosperity, if we're talking about victory, if we're talking about dominion, there are instructions from God which we must follow. And we follow them not just as to be pleasing to him, even though that's our primary goal, but we follow them because they are right. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me give a very practical example. Like the Bible, God will say that this is an abomination to God. Any man that uses differing weights, you know what they mean, a differing weight? Okay, have you been to the market before when they want to sell? They still use that now, and I've not been to market in a very long time. You know what I'm saying? When you become a man, you marry, you, there are some things, all things pass away. Unless your business, you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So some things have passed away in my life long ago, all right? But a few times, those days when I went to market, you know that if they used to use this thing, they don't use them anymore. When we're young, I mean, follow my mother and all of that. There's this thing they used to use for measuring gari and rice, you know, stuff like that. It was made of, it's metal, so they can bend it. So they bend it like, you understand my point? Why do they bend it? So that the thing will fill up quickly. That's what the Bible calls a weight, you know, so to speak, all right? Okay, these girls that sell groundnuts, there's one they used to do, I don't know, they didn't do it anymore. They put paper at the bottom of the tin, of the cups, as if we will not see it. Now, let me ask you a question. When they want to buy, do they put that paper there? That's what I call differing weights. When you want to buy, you use the one that favors you. When you want to sell, you use the one that disfavors your customer. Now, the Bible says it's an abomination to God. Abomination. That's what he calls it. The one that's also very common is a filling station. They say 97 naira a liter. That liter is supposed to be one complete liter. But most people will twinkle with the liter a bit so that to give you maybe just shave like 10% of the liter. So instead of buying 1 liter, you buy 0.9 liters for 97 naira. And if the man starts cheating, by the time he sells 1,000 liters and he has cheated everybody of just a small fragment, he has 100 liters, he cannot sell at 97 and I make extra money. And many filling stations do it. And God says it is an abomination. Let me tell you what an abomination is. An abomination is something that is so detestable in God's sight, he judges it quicker than other things. It's not every sin that God calls an abomination. Some of them are just sins, iniquity. I don't like it. Don't do it. It's not good for you. There are some that he says is an abomination. Is that it pollutes the land and it brings forth judgment quicker. The patience of God with abominations is short. And I'm telling you, God said directly that anybody that does business the way I've described it is practicing an abomination. Now, another point I should make. Spiritual things are very real. You cannot disconnect spiritual things with practical things. Practical things are controlled by spiritual things. I'm bringing an issue here. So if I do business like that, one day, rain will fall, erosion will come near my house and sweep away the house. Nobody can connect the two. Are you getting my point? But God connected it. He said, for this thing that this man did in the market, remove his house in the village. There's no connection, physically speaking. It is not as if those who were angry with you when they say, let's burn his house. No. But the God that is the judge, whose rules have been flouted, he utters a decree against that act and it lands on somebody's house 200 kilometers away. So unrighteousness actually does not pay. It doesn't. It never pays. Initially, it appears as if it's paying, but it does not pay. The one that's very common, you know, our people, you know, China man. Some of them will die and go to heaven, but many of them are going to hellfire because of wickedness. When they say, okay, this thing is very good. You see that it's selling, is very nice, it's working well for people. People will go to the place, make it, put the original name on it, shine it up to look like the real thing, bring it in, and start selling it initially as the real thing. The Bible says it is evil in his sight. Are you getting my point? And I'm saying something. Unrighteousness, we all, listen to what I'm saying, we always be judged. God will always judge it. But my topic is the rise of the righteous. In the time of divine judgment, only the righteous will stand. Let me say it again. In the time of God's judgment, only the righteous will stand. Who is the righteous? It is simple. The man, we are talking to Christians now, the fellow who sticks with the principles of God in his economic advancement. It is not the one that tries to please everybody. There are people who like to please people. Listen, number one reason Christians do what they do is because they are right. It's not because they get results. I keep on emphasizing this to Christians. The reason why you obey the principles of God is because that is the right thing to do, not because it favors you. So that when it does not favor you, you still do those principles. But I'm saying to you, eventually, it will be a blessing to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen. Okay, we talk. Okay, today is Nigeria's Independence Day, and I congratulate all of you and myself in Jesus' name. Let me quickly say it to you. Nigeria is prospering in Jesus' name. Evil is coming to an end in it in the name of Jesus. Every doer of evil is being judged in Jesus' name. Every practitioner of righteousness is being elevated in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Goodness and mercy will follow this country as long as you live and your children live and their children's children in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of your presence, God will show favor upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ. I need to just say that. Now, people have complained a lot of times that for the number of years we have been independent, the country has not made the appropriate amount of advancement. And let me say something to you. Number of years does not make a country advance. It doesn't make them advance. You can be 500 years, you still be backward. The only thing that makes a country advance is as they learn the principles of righteousness. The Bible says righteousness does what? Exalts a nation. I mean, it's just Bible. Righteousness exalts a nation. That if the nation was down, the only way to go up is by righteousness. If the nation will prosper, the only way to go up is because righteousness is being executed. When you are praying, you must learn how to pray as Christians. We pray too much for, oh God, please get what I'm saying in context. There are two sides to prayer. When you are praying for a country like Nigeria, you are praying for a community, you are praying for a large group of people. There are two kinds of prayers you must always pray. You will pray for God's mercy and you will pray for God's judgment. Did you hear what I said? You know why? You can never have progress if God does not judge iniquity. You can't. No matter, go and read Revelations. When they began to break the seal, all that was coming out was judgment on God's enemies. All that was coming out was judgment on God's enemies. Go and read the prophetic word that God gave Jeremiah. He put a word in his mouth. He said, I put my word in your mouth. With that word, you will pull down, you will destroy, you will break down, you will overthrow. Then you will build and you will plant. Four acts of judgment before two acts of blessing. The reason is because the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. One sinner destroys much good. That's what the scripture says. When you are praying for the country and praying and praying and praying, no matter how hard you pray, God has to judge evil and judge iniquity before he can bring forth prosperity. Tony Bakare gave a prophetic word about Nigeria some time ago. Interpretation of it may be difficult, but I know I believe that word totally. And he made it clear that progress is not coming until judgment comes. He made it clear that progress will not come until judgment comes. I heard him say it on TV, and he said it, thus says the Lord. You know, there are things he says, it's like he's preaching from the Bible. There are things he says, you know, he's angry with some people. But this one he said, he stood and said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. When God comes to judge iniquity, only the righteous will stand. And it's important that Christians learn to pray that prayer. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that God is not slow concerning his promises, just like his long-suffering, that he is patient, hoping that people will repent. His judgment will eventually come, but sometimes he waits, hoping that people will repent, because he's very quick to forgive. As long as people repent, you know, sincerely, God will forgive them and make it look as if they did not do anything wrong. But when people do not repent, his judgment will come, and only the righteous will stand. Please bear that in mind. I started by explaining the meaning of the word righteousness. When we're talking about the principles of ministry, we're talking about the principles of business, we're talking about the principles of marriage, we're talking about principles of any career somebody has chosen. The thing that we exalt you in that place is the practice of righteousness. There is a mistake Christians make today. Very common. They think it is prayer. Did you hear what I said? So you see a man who's doing iniquity, he thinks he can pray blessing upon his iniquity. I'm sorry to disappoint you, it doesn't work like that. What prayer does for you, and this, I'm telling you, is a matter of fact. If you are walking in an error and you do not know, God will never bless your error, but he will send you a word of correction if you pray. I hope you get what I'm saying. If what you are doing is wrong and you do not know is wrong, and you are sincere in your doing of wrong, the only blessing God puts there is a blessing of correction. He will say to you, what you have done is not right. Go and see what happened to Abimelech when he took Abraham's wife. Abimelech, in their culture at that time, the way things are, because God overlooks a lot of things, all right? He overlooked the fact that the man was just sitting there and be gathering wives. David did it, he overlooked it. Solomon did it. He didn't pay Solomon. He didn't pay David too, I hope you know. I hope you know David, all those gathering of wives did not favor him. In case you do not know, the only son he had whose head was correct was Solomon. And that one learned the bad habits of his father and still went astray later on in life. He did not favor him. All his sons were very spoiled, were spoiled children. So don't follow David in how to raise children. No, it's not good. The only thing you follow him is how he taught Solomon after he had made all the mistakes. Follow his love for God. Some other areas, don't follow him. Now, Abimelech, that's what I was talking about. So God overlooked it. But in the midst of that, there are things that God does not ever overlook. If the woman is another person's wife, you are in trouble. And the trouble is big. Now, Abimelech did not know that that was Abraham's wife. You've read the story in the Bible. Did he know? He did not know. Why did he not know? Abraham and Sarah agreed to lie about it. Oh, divine. You see, that's what I was telling you about righteousness. If I tell you now, for example, that this is your tab, all right? You did not know. I gave it to you. You say, if you're feeling, if your car wants to roll back, it's very strong. You can just use it to hold the car. Now, maybe I was joking. You did not know. Are you getting my point? And then I'm just trying to tell you that it is very strong. But you didn't know that's what they call exaggeration or hyperbole. I was just trying to make a point that this is very strong. And I now jokingly say, in fact, if your car is rolling back, use this thing to just shock it there. And then a few days down the line, you are going to one rural village for evangelism. It rained. And your car starts rolling back. You just say, oh, please, take this my tab. Used to hook it. Bank is there to hold it. And I'm going to say, okay, one man of God to another man of God, they must have been speaking prophetically. And he takes it and puts it between the tire and the stone. Next thing you hear is crack.
the thing is dead.
And I said, what happened? But Banky said, now, this is what I'm going to make. That was what Abraham did to Abimelech. Abimelech believed Abraham. Are you getting my point? But it still didn't change the fact that unrighteousness is bad for you. The fact that you did not know that what I said was a joke, does it spoil that, stop that thing from spoiling? It is his fault. It didn't stop it from spoiling. But this is the kindness of God. This is the kindness of God. You may now come and say, but Panky, you said this thing. I said, I was joking now. You took me serious. Say, no. This is what you've done is not good. And I'm a nice man. I say, I'm sorry. Let me give you another one for half the price. That is called what? Mercy. Do you see what mercy is? But if you had deliberately, you knew it was wrong and you put it in the fire and you come and tell me, will I answer you? But because you made the mistake, I was okay, let's do something so that it won't be only your call. Okay, bring half of the money that I sold you the other one, then I can meet you halfway. That is what they call mercy. In Abimelech's case, this is the point I'm making. Iniquity is bad for you. It's not whether God is angry or God is not angry. He took Abraham's wife and instantly a disease entered into his household and all the women were barren instantly. And God was going to kill Abimelech. But because he's a merciful God, he came to meet Abimelech in a dream and said, Abimelech, you're a dead man. And listen, when God says you're a dead man, he calls those things that be not as though they were. Do you understand my point? If he says you're dead, believe him. The fact that you're still talking doesn't mean you're not dead. You're dead. So he said to Abimelech, you're a dead man. Abimelech said, what have I done? He said, you took a prophet's wife. He said, which one? No prophet has come near here in recent times. He said, Abraham. He said, no, sir. He said it was his sister. He says it's his wife. He said, no, now. He was the one that lied. He said, yes. He said, you know, I'm a man of integrity. He said, I know. That is why I have come to tell you. Therefore, restore his wife and let him pray for you so that the plague that has entered your house will stop. You did not know. Doesn't mean I won't punish you. Even Jesus said it. The servant that knows what is right and does not do it will get many stripes. But the one that doesn't know and therefore doesn't do it will get what? Few stripes. He will still get his own stripes. See, but I did not know. They didn't tell me. They say ignorance is not an excuse. It's not a valid defense in the court of law. It's like that in heaven too. God just shows special mercy. And the special mercy he shows is the mercy of what? Correction. What he does is to correct people. What he does is to correct. He comes, if you are doing what is wrong, he will come and correct you, but you will never be blessed in the midst of that which is wrong. Let's take an example now. You know what they call polygamy? One man marry many wives. Do you know the thing has never been a blessing to anybody on this earth? It has never been a blessing to anybody on this earth. It did not even bless Abraham. The son he produced was a problem to the world. Ishmael. I just saw the story of David. People say that those days, you know, I've heard that argument. Why can't we marry many wives? God says, okay, all of you, don't worry. Who wants to marry many wives? Put up your hand. All right, you can have three. You can have four. Any other person? Yes, okay. So, all right, I as God, I have said you can marry many wives because you want to. Then a wise person will come and say, God, do you really want them to marry many wives? He'll say, no, I don't want them to, just because they want to.